is don't end like Eli. Don't end like Eli. Eli was no doubt raised in a good home. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was one of the grandsons of Aaron from the line of Ithamar. And he was the high priest. Means he served God. He was God's representative to the people. He took part in the Day of Atonement, offered the sacrifices, and was in a position of prominence. But as we examine Eli's life, it is obvious that something went terribly wrong. If you would, just look back with me a little bit. Go to chapter 1. And look at verse number 12, and I'm just going to go ahead and read, and you catch up when you find your place there. It says, "And it came to pass as she continued praying," speaking of Hannah here, "before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." There are some Bible commentators, Brother Becker, that believe that here Eli actually slapped Hannah because he thought she was drunk in the house. She wasn't drunk. She was filled with sorrow because she wanted a baby. Verse 13 says, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken, and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." Just by way of introduction tonight, four things I want you to notice, that we could see something was wrong with Eli in that he was callous in his dealings. Hey, God help us as Christians when we see folks wrapped up in the wages of sin, not to be hard-hearted. Amen. Amen. We're not supposed to be hard-hearted. We're not supposed to be the Pharisees. Amen. Eli was callous in his dealings. If there anybody ought to be kind, it's a Christian. Amen. He was callous. You know what else he was? If you'll read on in his life, he was cold in his duties. Cold. Boy, I'll tell you what, Christian, listen to me. And I'm not talking about the temperature, Miss Verley. Amen. It's easy to get cold in your dealings with God. It's easy to get mechanical in reading your Bible. It's easy to just go through the prayer list. Amen. You know what else he was? He was callous in his dealings. He was cold in his duties. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." You'll find Belial as a title for Satan. Go down to verse 22. It says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons had done in Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled themselves at the door of the congregation." Chapter 3, verse 14, please. It says, "And therefore have I sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall be purged with the sacrifice forever." Go up to verse 13, please. Why did that happen? Middle of the verse it says, "Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." He was callous in his dealings. He was cold in his duties. You know what else he was? He was careless in his discipline. Listen to me, parents, again, some of us have small children. It is our responsibility to restrain, to discipline our children. Listen, if my children say to you, Mrs. Harmon, you ask my children to do something, and they say, "Yup, I want to know about it. I want to know about it. I don't want my kids saying, yup, yes, ma'am." Amen. By the way, if that was good enough 50 years ago, why is it not good today? Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. Being polite. And Eli, he let his sons go. What a sad testimony. I'll tell you, I'd rather be Noah and have eight saved in the ark and have them all be my family than to be Eli and minister for the Lord for 40 years and lose my own kids. Amen. And listen to me. There's a lot of preachers that have lost their own kids. And listen, you know me by now. I'm not going to do it. Not, listen, I'm going to do my best to make time for my children, my wife, amen, that I wouldn't lose them. But he was careless in his discipline. He was cold in his duties. He was callous in his dealings. You know what else? Chapter 4 in our text, verse 17 and 18. It says, and the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines. That was the first thing that had happened, first bad thing. And it went from bad to worse when he said, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And then it got even worse when he said, thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And then it got even worse. And you say, how could it get any worse than his sons dying? It says, and the ark of God is taken. Because verse 18 says, and it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell backward. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the ark of God represented the presence of God, the power of God. Amen. And when Eli found that out, that all this had happened, he was not only callous in his dealings, he was not only cold in his duties, he was careless in his discipline, he was complete in his demise. He fell over dead. Broke his neck. Like the tree that is overtaken and rotted from the inside out with termites. Drifting from God does not happen in a day. But it does happen one day at a time. Amen. Eli was really, spiritually speaking, the first Pharisee. Why? Because Eli served the Lord. You remember when Jesus reproved the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23? He said to the people, he said, you know what? Whatever the Pharisees tell you to do, do it. But don't do after their works. For they say and do not. Matthew 23:3 tells us. That's what Eli was. He was a do as I say, not as I do. Child of God. He was the opposite of the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. You know what he said to the young preacher, Timothy? He said, you know what? Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit. He told him to be an example. By the way, Eli's end was tragic. Eli's end was terrible. To me as a preacher, someone who has the wonderful privilege of serving God, Eli's end is terrifying. Because you know what? I'm made of the same stuff Eli was made of. So is every other preacher out there. But you know what else we can learn about Eli's end? Is Eli's end is teaching. It teaches us some things. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of don't end like Eli. How can you make sure in your Christian life that you don't end like Eli? Number one, the first way to make sure that you don't end like Eli is don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. Hey, how many of you remember when that day that you got saved, amen, and that day, those early days where you just fell in love with Jesus for what he had done for you, amen, and what he had gone through, and you read the Gospels, and you couldn't read the crucifixion account without coming to tears because he did that for you. I'll tell you, that's what it is to be in love with Jesus, and that's where God wants us. He said in Revelation 2:4, as he was commending the church at Ephesus, a wonderful church, amen, a church that bore, a church that had great doctrine, a church that worked hard. He said, oh, that's great. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Hey, listen, one of the easiest ways to keep from leaving your first love is to be in this book. To be in this book. One of the easiest ways to keep from leaving your first love is by having that personal devotion time. Maybe it's a devotional you read. Maybe it's a topical study that you do. But you get in this book every day. One of the easiest ways to keep from leaving your first love is when you get on your knees and you have your prayer time. You say, I can't get on my knees anymore. That's all right. Get to your chair. Get to your couch. Get to your bed. Wherever you get, and have time praying with the Lord. You know what? And I don't say this boastfully, but after pastoring a little while now, somebody's giving will tell me how much they love the Lord. Now, there's some people that don't have two nickels to rub together. Don't you worry. But listen, I promise you this. You show me somebody who's generous to the Lord's work with his money, and I'll show you somebody who loves the Lord. Something else. When you tell people about Jesus, it means you love them. You just want to introduce people to the one you love. Amen? By the way, it's not proper dress. It's not the King James Bible, and I'm glad for it. It's not for standards. I have them. I think they're important. Amen. But I want to tell you something. It's about loving Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind. Just like Mark chapter 12, verse 30 tells us. Hey, you want to look at Eli. You want to look at why all these things happen in his life. I'll tell you exactly what happened. He left his first love, which was God. Number two. If you don't want to end like Eli, don't leave your first love. Number two, don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, never, never, never get over being saved. See, I think sometimes we come to church and we try to be faithful and we try to give our tithes and we try to do all the things that we're supposed to do, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. It can become mechanical and rote, and we can forget what Jesus did for us. Al Smith, oh, what a great, great songwriter Al Smith is. That our hymnal that we have in there, Living Hymns, was compiled by Al Smith. Al Smith wrote the song, I have never lost the wonder of it all. I have never lost the wonder of it all. Since the day that Jesus saved me and a brand new life He gave me, I have never lost the wonder of it all. Hey, you know what? God help us to not lose the wonder of it all. You're never going to hell if you're saved. Never. Hey, you'll never be forsaken by God. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, you read that chapter in Ephesians chapter 2, how we were dead in trespasses and sin, and we had our conversation with the prince of this world. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, has saved us. For by grace are you saved. I'll tell you what, God help us to never lose the wonder of our salvation. If you listen, if you stay in love with Jesus and you don't lose the wonder of your salvation, you'll not end like Eli. Number three. So important, this one. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't leave your first love. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. You say, what do you mean by that? Put first things first. You always have time for the things you put first. You see, when God says we ought to obey God rather than men in Acts 5:29, that means whatever God gives us, He will give us the time to do. He wouldn't tell us to obey something if we had to disobey something else to do it. And so what happens is people begin shifting priorities, and I promise you this in your life, whenever you begin to rationalize, you will be able to talk yourself into doing anything. You see, people will say, well, listen, I need to spend time with my family so I can't come to church on Sunday night. Best family time you ever spend in your life is by bringing your kids to the house of God. But they'll say, well, and they begin to shift the priority. Don't do that. Don't legitimize it. Just say, hey, look, God said we're supposed to gather together with God's people. That's what we're going to do. Hey, listen, I've got bills coming up this week. I'm not going to be able to tithe. You listen, you honor God, and He'll take care of your bills. Amen. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Don't rationalize. And just don't do it. Just don't do it. Do what God says. And you'll not end like Eli. Number four. Oh, this one's so important. Go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This fourth one is the one that I think plagues the church of 2012 more than anything else. Don't leave your first love. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You say, Pastor, what's the fourth thing? Don't let pride in. Don't let pride in. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 6, verse number 3 says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Hey, it do us good in our church to sing that song, At the Cross. At the cross, amen. Why? What does it say? Because it says that he died for such a worm as I. Such a worm as I. Boy, it's real hard to think yourself something when you're reading yourself a worm, isn't it? But I'll tell you what happens. Listen, and I love the Sunday night crowd, and I love the Wednesday night crowd, but what happens is we get to come into church and doing the things we're supposed to do. If we're not careful, we can puff up with pride. And we can look down our pharisaical nose at those that are having trouble and having a battle and having difficulty and haven't achieved that level of victory that we, hey, listen, don't let pride in. Pride says, I don't need to read my Bible. Pride says, I don't need to pray. I can handle this. Pride says, you can go on and on. Don't let it in. Don't let pride in. Number 5. So important. Goes right along with that. Matthew chapter 20. Goes right along with not letting pride in. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. I'm just going to go ahead and read there once you can catch up there. It says, Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, it says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'll tell you something else important, particularly those that are in the ministry, is don't lessen people. Brother Kalmbach, I'm going to tell you something. I've learned this in the ministry. People will let you down. Welcome to the ministry, amen? Listen, people have problems. And that's why they need people to minister to them. Hey, you people that come out on Saturday and you go out on ministry calls. Praise God for that. Listen, I know many a preacher that has bought into the philosophy that the ministry would be great if it weren't for people. But you know what? Last time I checked, that's all the ministry is. People. Helping them. Working them through their problems. Amen. Giving them the Word of God. Don't lessen people. Don't think people beneath you. Goes right back to pride. Amen. Don't think, well, I can't help this person. I mean, that's too difficult. And that, no, don't do that. God will have you in somebody's life to be a blessing to them, to minister to them. And Jesus said you can't be any greater than to be a minister, to be a servant. Number 6. Don't lessen people. Don't let pride in. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't leave your first love. Number 6, don't lean on human ability. Don't lean on human ability. I was just looking the other day, where's Brother Salmons at? Amen. There you are, amen. I was just looking at my questionnaire that the pulpit committee sent me. 35-page questionnaire. I should have got a love offering for filling that thing out. I'm telling you that right now. It took me 12 hours to fill it out, amen. And they asked me to list what I viewed were my strengths and what I view were my weaknesses. And one of my weaknesses, I just share this with you folks, is that I can do things in my own strength. Do you know I can preach this book in my own strength? I can. I've done it. I try not to. I try to get the Lord to help me and fill me and move me and move me along in my sermons. But you listen to me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You know what Eli did? He was just leaning on his, "I know how to do this. I've done these sacrifices for 35 years. And for it." Listen, don't get like that, folks. Ask God to give you strength. Why? I'll tell you this. The more hair you lose, amen, or the more it goes white, hey, you know what? The more you need God's strength. Amen. Just like I need it, just like you. Hey, don't lean on human ability. Number 7. Oh, this is so important. Go to Revelation chapter 3. I've got 2 more points here and we'll be done. Don't leave your first love. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Don't let pride in. Don't lessen people. Don't lean upon human ability. Revelation chapter number 3, and look at verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. Here we have the church of Laodicea. Actually, it's called the church of the Laodiceans. It's a good study right there. It says, "I know thy works," verse 15, chapter 3, Revelation. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." What's the 7th way to keep from ending like Eli? Don't learn to just go through the motions. Listen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an average husband. I don't want to be an average pastor. I don't want to be an average dad. I don't want to be an average friend. Listen, and I don't want it for prideful reasons. I want the power of God on my life. I want the power of God. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to win that person that nobody else can win. Amen. I want to be able to do that. But I'll tell you, the easiest way to quench the power of God is to just go through the motions. You know what God said about that kind of Christianity? Forgive me, folks, but this is what He said. It makes Him sick. He literally says, "I wish you were cold or hot, one or the other. You're lukewarm, and I just want to vomit you out, spew you out." And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you this. In these last couple months in our church, I like what's happening here. I like what's happening. Amen. I like that the Holy Ghost has free reign through these chairs and through those pews. Amen. I like what He's doing. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't ever want to just go through the motions. It's easy. Listen to me. It's Brother Boston, you run that bus. Brother Curry, you drive that. It's easy to just go through the motions. Don't do it. Pray. Ask God for help. Ask God for power. Ask God for blessing. Amen. You remember Jacob when he was getting ready to meet Esau, and I'm going to preach on that soon on the power of fear. Amen. But he was getting ready to meet Esau. It says he wrestled with an angel of the Lord all night long till the breaking of day, and he had a hold of him, and he wouldn't let go. And the angel said, "Look, the day's breaking. Let me go." And he said, "I'll not let you go except you bless me." And he touched his thigh and he walked with a limp the rest of his days, but he walked in the power and strength of God. And listen, I'd rather limp for God than go through the motions. Ask for God's blessing. Demand it. Say, "God, I've got to have it." You know what He'll say? Don't go through the motions. Our God is a consuming fire. Hey, listen, let's desire the fire. Amen? Let's desire the fire. Let's not just read 2-3 verses. I mean, let's get in the book and desire His blessings. Lastly tonight, go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews 12. Don't leave your first love. Don't lose the wonder of your salvation. Don't legitimize shifting priorities. Don't let pride in. Don't lessen people. Don't lean upon human ability. Don't learn to go through the motions. And lastly, if you don't want to end like Eli, don't look away from the Savior. Don't look away from the Savior. Maybe that should have been the first point. I don't know. You can rearrange your outline if you like. It says in verse 2 of chapter 12, after, in verse 1 tells us that, wherefore seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, as we preached on just a few weeks back, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, we mentioned before, if you look at self, you'll be discouraged. Especially when you look like this. It's very discouraging. Sorry. Amen. What I mean is, when we look at ourselves spiritually, it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? There's a lot of things. Listen, there's a lot of things that we leave undone. Come on, help me, church. There's a lot of things. You say, I want to read 6 chapters of my Bible today, and you read 3. You like to pass out 10 tracts, and you only pass out 2, and you think, boy, I just failed. You look at self, you'll be discouraged. You look at saints, and you know what? Eventually, you're going to be disappointed. Somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to turn on you. But I'll tell you what, you look to Jesus and you'll never be discouraged. You'll never be disappointed. Amen. You'll be thrilled with how much He loves you. What a great song, how Jesus loves me. He loves me. He never. By the way, when you fail Him, He never stops loving you. So you know what? If you don't want to end like Eli, don't look away from the Savior. Keep your eyes on Jesus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Eli, bad ending. You know why? Bad middle. Bad middle. Hey, you know the best way to keep from a bad ending is let's turn the middle around. Let's not leave our first love. Let's not lose the wonder of our salvation. Let's not legitimize shifting priorities. Let's not let pride in, and all God's people said. Let's not lessen people. Let's not lean on our human ability. Let's not learn to go through the motions, and let's not look away from the Savior. Don't end like Eli. Father,